Today on Real Radio.
He says, don't be like the horse or like the mule, which has no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, or else they will not come near you. God is telling that to his people. Don't be like a donkey and don't be like a horse that's got to have a bridle and a bit put in its mouth, or else it won't even come near me.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring chapter 3 and looking at its last few verses. Paul, the letter's author, breaks into what we refer to as a doxology, a spontaneous outburst of worship that comes from the depths of the heart. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called A Prayer for Power.
He says to us in verse 20 that this incredible declaration, he says, according to the power that works in us. Now unto him who is able to do all of these wonderful things, according to the power that works within us. A direct reference, the word power, look back at verse 16. In verse 16, he says that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Might in verse 16 and power in verse 20 is the word dunamis. It is a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working in us. Now unto him who's able to do all of these things, how does it happen? According to the work of the Holy Spirit. He's a tremendous ally. He's with us. We need to recognize this. If we don't, if we begin to be self-reliant as a Christian, we'll get messed up. Doesn't matter how smart we are, how strong, experienced, how wealthy we are. If we're relying upon ourself, we're relying upon our flesh. And listen, if you are conniving and manipulating and striving to bring about some kind of a thing, some kind of a victory, your fall, Christian, is coming and it's going to be hard because God loves you. In Psalm 32, verse 9, he says, don't be like the horse or like the mule, which has no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, or else they will not come near you. God is telling that to his people. Don't be like a donkey and don't be like a horse that's got to have a bridle and a bit put in its mouth, or else it won't even come near me. Don't be self-reliant, self-dependent. Trust in all the things that he is going to do because the Holy Spirit is in you. He's going to bring to pass what he has decreed for your life. Philippians 1:6, Psalm 138:8 says that he's not going to forsake the work of his hands and he will complete that which he has begun in you. He's going to do it by the power that's within us, the Holy Spirit. And so he wants us to lean upon the Holy Spirit. And besides that, have you caught on that your flesh, my flesh, is no match to Satan's power? No way. So get away from the works of the flesh. Listen, jot them down. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Dunamis is the name, is the word. In God for pulling down strongholds. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will in my heart is present within me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. The flesh, the war between the flesh and the spirit. We want to do good. We're redeemed. We've got the Spirit of God in us. The Holy Spirit says, hey, go feed the homeless. And then, while we're driving down there, the flesh says, hey, maybe the newspaper will be there and I'll be on the picture. That's the flesh. God says, teach a Bible study. The Spirit says, so people will grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And the flesh says, hey, maybe 1,000 people will come. You struggle with that every day. So do I. Hey, I'll go over to the church and clean the windows. Maybe somebody will see me. You started out good. But you see, the flesh, doggone it, jumps right into our hearts and minds and begins to mess up the thing. We all battle that mess. Matthew 26:41. Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that true? Oh, God, I can't wait to get home. I'm going to pray. Then you get home. Oh, God, I can't wait to pray. I'm just going to watch this little bit of CNN. And you know what, God? As soon as I eat this corn dog, I'm going to really pray. And then it's good. I'll pray. As soon as I get out of the shower, I'm going to, and then what happens? Oh, man, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We battle with it every day. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is holy. The flesh is not. 55 miles an hour is the law. What does the flesh do? It pushes down harder on the pedal. It's your foot. God, it's this foot you gave me. The law is right. The flesh cannot perform the law, Paul says in Romans 8:3. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Wow, because he was perfect. Turn to Romans 7:15 real quick. Romans 7:15. This is a fun part of Scripture. Not always easy to read, but it's fun because we can all laugh, because we can relate. In Romans 7:15, Paul says, for what I am doing, I don't understand. You ever feel like that? For what I will to do, that I do not practice. In other words, you're a hypocrite. Did you know that? To be a hypocrite is to know what is right and not to do that thing. That's the definition of a hypocrite. So right now, tonight, according to the true definition of a hypocrite, we are all hypocrites. Paul is admitting to that in verse 15. But what I hate, that is what I do. If then, hang on with me here, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. I don't want to do this. Why? Because I know the law is right on this thing. It's a wrong thing to do. I can tell you in my mind it's wrong to do that thing. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know, verse 18, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I would do, I do it not. But the evil I will to do not, that I practice or that I do. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to. And what do you wind up doing that stupid thing. And then what do you feel? Condemnation. Don't you feel conviction and you feel condemned? Why? Because inside of you is that, remember we talked about the white dog and the black dog warring on the inside? Listen, that's a sign of your Christianity. Don't be condemned by it. Listen, the world out there goes, let's go have an affair. Okay. The world says, let's rob a bank. Sure. The world says, do your own thing. Shine on God. Okay. That's how we used to be. The proof that the Holy Spirit lives in us is our hearts say, let's witness for the Lord today. And the flesh says, well, you look like an idiot. Why do that? People will laugh. And there's a war on the inside of you. God will say, share with that guy in the line at Albertsons. And the flesh says, you'll be arrested. That's the war. That which I will to do, I don't do it. I listen to the flesh and I go, yeah, I could get arrested. By the way, I don't want to freak anybody out and, you know, come out to be like some crazy Christian. So I'll just sit in line and keep my mouth shut and go home and be content. And then the moment you get in the car, God says, why didn't you say something? I was going to lead that guy right to my face and save him. We've all been there. He says in verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do it. For I delight, verse 22, in the law of God according to the inward man, the spiritual man. I love the law of God. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. See that dash? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That doesn't mean Paul says, God, you know I want to do good. You know that. So I'm going to go over here and do wrong and let my flesh do all the wrong stuff. But boy, you know I love you, God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when he trips up and when he falls down. Paul had such an incredible grip on that spiritual truth. I hope someday we come to half of the understanding. We certainly can if we choose to. You know, we're coming up on New Year's resolutions here, right? Pretty soon. I hope none of you are dumb enough to make a New Year's resolution. I promise this year to keep my fat intake down. I'll have 1,800 calories daily, and you do great for like 3 days. And then what happens? Oh, man, I can't believe, and I blew it. And my New Year's resolution, I'm going to jog every day. No, you're not. Just fess up and say, I'm going to try to jog as much as I can this year. But don't make any promises to yourself or to your wife or your husband or your friends or to God. Can't do it. Why? You don't have the power. We don't have the power to do that. We know it's good, but the power to perform it, we don't have it. You see, we've got to get out of that teenage Christian syndrome. I can do it. Nobody understands me because I'm alone, the most brilliant one. No, you scrape up your knees a few times, you find out after a while, you can't do it on your own. And you let the Lord live your Christian experience through you. So that when you fall down, you've got 1 John 1:9 memorized, and you say, wait a minute, I'm feeling pretty condemned over this stupid thought I just had. I know it was horrible, and I don't like it. Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, your Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed my sins from me. And Lord, you say in your word that my transgressions, my iniquities, you will remember no more. You stand up, you believe God at his word, and you get going. You don't flog yourself, I'm such a bad Christian. We're all bad Christians. Even if we look so cute, and we're working so hard, the stuff that's in our hearts is enough. I know some of you are getting quenched tonight because you thought you were doing pretty good today until you come. Don't you understand? That's the liberty of it all, is that Jesus came. He said to heal the sick. But there's a prerequisite. The sick had to acknowledge that they were sick. Jesus said that, and he looked at a bunch of Pharisees, And they did not see themselves as sick. They saw everybody else sick, but not them. But verse 24 of Romans 7 is the victory. It's the power. It'll break us from our teenage Christian years. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? It's the Lord. The results of the power of God in our lives. Ephesians 3:21. He says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The word amen here is the word that says, let it be true, or it is truth. And he's talking about the power. According to the power, jot these few thoughts down. The result of being empowered by the Holy Spirit in your life, number one, he wants to make us witnesses. Doesn't matter if we're talking verbal. You don't have to go around preaching. I'm talking about living. Giving you the power to live. The Christian life. Acts 4:33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. They lived the lives of Christians. How do you do it? By asking God for his power. Romans 15:19. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, were the apostles and the believers, so that from Jerusalem and around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You're dry. I don't know. I'm not growing. I wish my Christianity was hot. I see these people walking around. They're smiling, praising the Lord. God, what's wrong? And God's saying, hey, step out. Make yourself available. And you'll see. And you'll grow. The result of being empowered by the Holy Spirit is that he wants to make us powerful servants. Zechariah 4:6. The scripture says there, that the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. Man, with a name like that, you need the Lord. Not by might, God said to him, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I love the next verse. He goes on, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a valley, and he shall bring forth the capstones with shouts of grace to it. You got a problem? Got a situation? You got a mountain in front of you? Lord's in your heart, shout grace to it. Grace to you, opposition. Grace. God, I have a mountain here. You're God. You can do exceedingly abundantly, but of all I got to ask or think. So, Lord, go get that mountain. God's grace moves in. Micah 3:8. Micah 3:8 says, Micah speaking, I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus finally commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem before they went out to serve. And he says, you shall wait and receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses of me, really, ultimately, throughout all the world. Witnesses, servants, and he says, throughout all ages, world without end. Turn to Revelation 5, we are done. Revelation 5. When he says throughout all ages, he's talking about when eternity begins for us. Isn't that going to be fun? People, we're living by time right now. There's going to come a day when we're going to step into eternity and it will begin for us. No ending. Golly. This world really reeks when you think about that. Revelation 5. Has anybody lost anybody lately to death? Or how about at all? Any relatives, friends? Okay. Any of you know if they're in heaven, they died as believers? Raise your hand. You wonder what's going on with them right now? Watch this. Verse 1, Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who's worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Remember, nobody was worthy. So John wept much because no one was found worthy to open the and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." Do you guys know who that is? It's Jesus. "Has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the world. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne." Jesus came and took the scroll out of the hand of the Father. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every..." That's how you're redeemed, by the blood. "Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s of thousands." It doesn't mean there was a lot. It means there was an amount so great nobody can count. "Saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, through strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and as such as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying,'" this is what everything will say, "'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Let it be true. Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the last part of Ephesians 3, where Paul pens what we call a doxology, a spontaneous outburst of worship that comes from the depths of the heart. A Prayer for Power has been the title of this mini-series. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we move into Ephesians chapter 4. Now remember, Real Radio exists chiefly to strengthen you in your faith and to present the truth of Scripture to non-believers, as they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah as well. But of course, being in this world, doubt seems to creep in from time to time. Now, at first glance, doubt can seem discouraging. But remember, even the closest of Messiah's followers struggled with doubt. Disciple Peter had times of doubt. Of course, Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples, has been distinguished with the word doubting being attached to his name. Even John the Baptist, the older cousin of Jesus, struggled with doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. Now, this is precisely why Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.